We continue our little series through the first letter of John. So please turn back, if you would, in your Bibles to the first of our Bible readings this morning, which was on page 260 in the Church Bibles, quite near the end of the Bible. Page 260 in the New Testament. It's 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, where we take up again. And this, in John's letter, is him returning to his third main point. He gives three tests of genuine Christianity. And the third one is, love one another. So here we are in verse 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Love one another. Now, we might think this is straightforward to understand, easy to measure, but it's not. And in our society, there is such confusion about love, what it is, what it means. At Harry and Meghan's wedding at Windsor, the Archbishop of the United States preached about love, or love, as he called it, And it wasn't just his style that perplexed people. Because there is such confusion about love. What it is. What it means. And many in our society, sadly, simplify it by implying something like, well, love means sex, or love is about feelings and emotions. But such simplifications are very shallow and imply that love is fickle and fleeting. And that is not how the Bible talks about love. John says to grasp love, well, let's compare it with its opposite. That's one of the things that helps us see the meaning of things, isn't it? You take a word or a concept and you compare it with its opposite. And that's what John does in this little section. Love's opposite is hate. So in verse 12 he writes, we must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. So Cain, as in Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, very early on in humanity. Now, even thinking about hate is a challenge in our society, because our society seems confused about hate. In recent times, I've noticed people talk about hate as though it's mainly to do with the feelings of people who are easily offended. But that's not how the Bible talks about hate. When John talks about hate here, he's talking about what people do. It's about deeds. And in talking about Cain and Abel, he's saying, since the first humans, hate has been about deeds. So let's ask the question, what does hate do? Why did Cain murder Abel? Well, for one, it was because of envy. Why did he murder him, it says? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. There was envy going on. What does hate do? Hate envies. Cain envied Abel's good deeds and recognized that compared with Abel's deeds, his own deeds were evil. And this became envy. And there's two things he could have done. One, he could have said, well, I want to be more like Cain, and copied him and become more righteous. But sadly, that's not what all of us as humans do. So often we go the other way and demonize them in order to justify our own deeds. And so it becomes envy. That's what hate does. It envies. Also, we see in verse 12 that hate sees little value in our fellow human beings. So very quickly, the hater aims to get rid of the person they envy because they do not value them as a fellow human being made in God's image. And without this valuing, which comes from love, which comes from God, it's all too easy for envy to become hate and hate to become a sort of inner imperative to be rid of them, whatever it takes. And with Cain and Abel, I don't know if you can remember, from Genesis chapter 4, it became murder. Now, there are other ways in which people might try to be rid of those they envy. And some of you may have experienced this in the workplace or in the household or in all sorts of places. Lies to spoil a reputation. Stirring to turn others against someone for no good reason. Some sort of abuse to make their lives difficult. These and other hateful ways are often justified by hateful people as they demonize those they envy. Cain was, verse 12, from the evil one. He found it easy to be tempted by the evil one into demonizing his brothers and sisters, and particularly his brother Abel, who had done little wrong. Cain demonized Abel in order to justify his own hate, which was shown by his action, which might have been lies, stirring, or abuse, or similar, but in his case became murder. It's all the same, says John. Verse 15, all who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. And in verse 13, he says, don't be surprised by hatred towards you for no good reason. This is where it comes from. Verse 13, do not be astonished, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. Hate is shown by deeds. Even if the words are nice to our face, if the deeds are evil, then it's hate. That's what hate does. Now, having looked at the obvious, let's go back to love. That's what John focuses on as he encourages the Christians to love one another. If hate is shown by deeds, then love is shown by deeds as well. Different deeds, but by deeds. Verse 18. Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Actually, we should love in both, but he's making the point that love is shown by deeds. It's not just nice words, it's deeds which matter. And what does love do? Well, in verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Here, John takes the example of Jesus Christ. He's the one that shows us what love does. What does love do? It suffers and sacrifices in order to help others. And Jesus' death on the cross is the greatest example of love, because Jesus chose to suffer and sacrifice himself in order to help others have the opportunity for forgiveness of sins. What does love do? Jesus shows us love suffers in order to help. Secondly, in verse 17, what does love do? It also shares with the needy. Verse 17, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? What does love do? It shares with a brother or sister in need. It's a doing thing. one of the ways in which people in this church show practical love to needy brothers and sisters is through the, I think it's called the make and take thing. And it involves taking a meal to someone who's up against it. And often we organise a few meals in a row to help people through a tough time. Because that's what love does. It suffers, it shares. Another thing it does? Well, John makes very clear in this passage that love goes to heaven. It's a big theme in these verses. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. So if we hate, we're living in death and headed for the opposite of heaven. If we love our brother and sister, the fact that we're in the family of God already implies that we believe Jesus. And then our deeds of love confirm our path to heaven. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Even if others can't see it, because often others don't seem to see it, our quiet deeds of love. Even if others can't see it, God can see it, and we can be confident, as he points out in verse 19. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Often those who love one another are still a bit down on themselves or particularly feel as sensitive to God condemning sin. But these verses make sure, remind us that we don't need to be sensitive in that sense. God sees good deeds and wants us to have confidence before him, reassurance in our hearts. Even if others can't see it, God can see it, and we can be confident. In this little passage, there's one more thing which love does. Remember, love suffers, love shares, love goes to heaven, and love prays boldly. Can you see in verse 21 and 22? Oh, no. Oh, yes, 21 and 22. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. Let's think about children. Children who know their parents can't do so much tend not to ask so much. They tend to be wise. It's those who know their parents have lots to give who ask much more, sometimes annoyingly so. That's just one of those truths. And when we're in a good relationship with God, we seek to obey his commands and please him, we are bolder to ask. We know our Heavenly Father, and we know he has lots to give, including, verse 24 at the end, his Holy Spirit. And so he lives in us, and we live in him. And that's how it is when we believe Jesus to be the Christ and love one another as he has commanded. And here, John is describing being a Christian. A genuine Christian. This is one of the marks of a genuine Christian. We reject hate envies, and hate wants to spoil things for others. Hate demonizes others. But love, what does love do? Love suffers, love shares, love goes to heaven, and love prays boldly. Brothers and sisters, reject hate, choose to love one another. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize that in some ways these things are so simple, and yet we can be so confused, and so many in our society are. Help us to be clear on these things. Clear on these things in our own hearts and minds, that we may live them in our lives. For our own benefit, but more than that, for the benefit of many others, and especially those in need. Amen.